Now I know a question that's in your mind about that first reading. Where was the whale? This was about Jonah. And the only thing we usually know about Jonah is the whale. Well, there are lots of parts missing from that. And so let me fill in the blanks. One day Jonah was sitting calmly at home in Israel, hating the Ninevites, which was a popular pastime because the Ninevites were great enemies of Israel. Part of the kingdom of Assyria, which were the rulers over all that part of the world, very cruel rulers. And the Lord God said to Jonah, "Go tell the Ninevites to repent, or else I will destroy them." "Lord," said Jonah, "let's forget the telling them to repent part. Let's just do the destroy part. I'll help." Jonah did not like the idea of telling them that the Lord called for them to repent, because the Lord's word was so powerful that they might just repent, and then Jonah would miss out on seeing his people's enemies destroyed. So Jonah tried to avoid the Lord's call. As fast as he could, he climbed on a boat headed in the opposite direction. But a terrible storm came up, and the sailors looked around. "Who's causing this?" "You," they cried, and pitched Jonah overboard. It was then that the whale came on the scene, swallowed Jonah, carried him back to Palestine, and spit him up on the shore. So there was Jonah smelling somewhat of fish, and the Lord had not taken back his instructions. So Jonah said, "I guess I better do what the Lord said." So as today's first reading relates, Jonah went to Nineveh, told them that they better repent or else they would face destruction. And sure enough, they repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes to demonstrate their repentance. And they even had their oxen wear sackcloth, which is, I don't know what that means. But this really upset Jonah, because he wanted God to wipe them out. And here they repented. So he went outside the city and sulked. And all of that is in the story. You can imagine the hearers of that laughing as you did. But it's the story that made a point. The call to repentance is urgent. It holds not only the threat of disaster, but also the promise of radical transformation for the better. Well, we're more inclined, like Jonah, to listen to the prophets of doom these days, rather than to those who open up the promise for the genuine, far-reaching change for the better in the affairs of the world. Maybe we don't listen to that because it calls for change in us. It's easier to sit back and say, "Wipe them out." But the Jonah and Jesus and Paul story makes the point that our future is not in the power of blind fate, but in the hands of a passionately concerned and involved God. We're not helpless on the threshold of inevitable tragedy. But like Paul says, we're at the point of decision and commitment now, faced with the demand of the kingdom of God that Jesus announces now. For the time is short. The world as we know it is passing away. I figured that the end of the world is coming for me, within the next 15 or 20 years. The world as you know it will be gone in what? 50 years? 5 years? Next year? We cannot assume that life just goes merrily on and on and on. This message is valuable for us. We have to use life now. How? Jesus calls, "Come, follow me, come after me." Oh, is this where he's going to put in the pitch, priesthood, religious life, the Benedictines? Not necessarily. We're no longer in a church or in a world where it is that simple. Jesus' word, Jesus' call is to each of us. Jesus walks up to no one and says, minimum assignments. You don't have to do a whole lot. In school terms, you can pass if I see you in church on Sundays. He calls us by name. He calls us where we are. Calls us to be fishers also. Ministers, witnesses, laying down our life for others. We have to realize that what we have is not just for us. Our faith, our doubts, our pain, wounds and struggles are not just annoying things. Our love, our joys, hopes, and successes are not just pleasant things. They are all also for others. We are called to witness, to manifest to others what we have encountered in our lives. We're called to make visible to others the presence of God in our lives. So first of all, we have to recognize that presence ourselves. That is why we pray, to reflect on our living, to let God illuminate our lives and see where we meet him every day. It's always a temptation to think, my life doesn't count. I don't do much. I don't have the chance to do much. It's just all indifferent. No. Because there's nobody else where we are. There's nobody else that dogs our steps every day. We're the mission to the world as we encounter it. And the world as we encounter it may not be the things we choose to do. Jonah didn't want to go to the Ninevites after all. And there's some of those Ninevites in our lives too. And we'd almost be just as contented if they didn't repent. But God wants them to. God wants them to know his presence in our world. And we're the ones called to do that. So, it's a really impossible task, you know. But that's why we come here each week and gather to recognize the Lord in our midst and let the Lord fill our lives so that when we go out, and be his people. And we need this presence to one another to say, no, we're not alone. We are the people of God.